So they can acquire the organism from somebody else. Now, it depends what type of organism we're talking about. Some people are actually asymptomatic with some of these organisms, and then when somebody acquires it, they can become infectious, or they can acquire it, and then it becomes infectious in them. But for the most part, somebody is infectious, and they usually get acquired through bodily secretions from the other person. In the case of meningococcus or Neisseria, it would be through respiratory droplets or sharing of saliva. So
the thing that I've discovered with this UHART student who passed away, that students are required to have a vaccine for bacterial meningitis. Mm-hmm. Does that cover most bacterial meningitis?
It will cover one specific type of bacterial meningitis. And in this case, if they are suspecting Neisseria, within each types of bacteria, there are many different subtypes. And even within this Neisseria bacteria, there are many different subtypes as well. And the vaccine covers most of them, but doesn't cover all of the subtypes. In fact, the vaccine has been so effective in the sense that we see much less of the other subtypes, but we're starting to see more of the one that it does not cover. Long story short, it's difficult to actually develop a vaccine against this specific subtype. And so it's not that the pharmaceutical companies are ignoring it or missing it. They've tried. And there's actually a vaccine available in Europe, but it was not approved because of the cost and the theoretical efficacy of the vaccine. But since they're still seeing an increase in this type that's not covered, they've actually tried to push through approval again. But that's the bottom line, that the vaccine doesn't have this.
So why don't we hear more about meningitis outbreaks?
So I see meningitis on a fairly regular basis, but the one that captures the public attention is what we call meningococcus or Neisseria meningitis, which is it stimulates the public attention. And because of vaccination, and vaccination has worked so well, we see a lot less of it. But unfortunately, there are still cases.
I think we should probably talk about the symptoms of this particular meningitis.
Absolutely. It's fairly nonspecific, but specific to an astute physician who can pick it up. The reason why is they will have symptoms of fevers, chills, nausea, vomiting, headache, what we call photophobia or light disturbance. They can't tolerate the light, and neck stiffness. With this particular bacteria, you can also get a rash on your trunk and your extremities, in your fingers, your toes, your feet, and your hands as well. But the problem with all these symptoms is that could be a lot of different things until you get to the rash. And then if they have the rash, then most physicians have a high index of suspicion that it could be this. The problem is that it's not a problem. It's actually a good thing. Because the vaccine has worked so well, a lot of physicians don't see this anymore.
Is death rare?
Death, it depends how early it is caught, but death can occur 10 to 15% of the time. Obviously, if left untreated, the death rate's going to be a lot higher. But if caught in enough time, the death rate, the mortality is around 10 to 15%.
What's the typical course of action for people who live with him and then maybe from an outer circle from that, people who know him well? Is there something that they should be doing?
Well, the key is to talk to their health provider, and if they've had exposure to this unfortunate individual, then they should contact their health provider. There are different definitions on what exactly a quote-unquote close contact is. The absolute close contact is somebody who has spent approximately 8 hours less than 3 feet from the patient. And that's not always everybody, but then you break it out into a subset of that, people who have been intimate with the patient who has shared utensils or shared bodily fluids with the patient, and we're talking secretions, not all bodily fluids, but we're talking secretions and saliva and respiratory droplets. And so if they have been exposed to that, especially for prolonged periods, then they should have a high index of suspicion.
Well, Dr. Ulysses Wu, thank you so much.
Thank you very much for having me.